Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country. Waiting here for you.
Hi, this is Nashville record producer Kim Copeland. Welcome to In the Country, an Artist Insights exclusive production, bringing you up close and personal interviews with your favorite country music stars. Now here's the host of In the Country, Dave Woods.
And welcome to the show. Glad you could set aside the next 30 minutes for another up close and personal interview with a great new talent on the country scene, and I'm very happy to be speaking with her. It's my pleasure to introduce country singer-songwriter Georgia Thomas. Hi there, Georgia.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing good. Great to speak with you.
Well, you too, Dave. Thank you for having me today.
Yes, awesome. I've been looking forward to this. And we've got a couple of your songs lined up to play from your self-titled debut CD, and we're going to talk about those and play those. Georgia, I wanted to start with you made the move to Nashville in 2000. Can you tell us sort of what was in your head and heart at that time that led you to make the big move to pursue your music?
Well, pretty much, I mean, it was, I always laugh. I didn't really know what to do when I first moved to Nashville, but I did come across at the grocery store down in Jackson, Mississippi, in the bargain video bin, I kid you not, there are these videos, okay, and there was this video called The Right Track. Okay.
Whoa.
And I kid you not, it was The Right Track, W-R-I-T-E. And so that caught my attention because I was, you know, writing songs at the time. And I decided to basically pick up the video. Hold on one second. I'm sorry.
Sure.
It got real loud in my house. I decided to pick up the video and watch it. And it becomes this Nashville Songwriters Association video that tells you all about the Nashville Songwriters Association. And I always say that was very fateful that day at the grocery store in the bargain bin. And then I joined the NSAI, the Nashville Songwriters Association International, and started writing songs as I had been loving doing anyway. And then I decided to just continue on while I was, you know, in Nashville. So that was kind of my starting point, was meeting people through that organization, which still is a great organization, alive and well in Nashville.
It is, for sure. And they've got a Toronto chapter of the NSAI, and they have different meetings up here. And I was actually at a function a couple of months back, and it was just terrific, the information they gave on pitching songs and song plugging and critiquing songs and all that. Great organization.
Yes, it really is. So I always have to, you know, put a plug in for them because, you know, honestly, for people like me that literally fall off the turnip truck when they move to Nashville, it's a great place to start, you know, because you meet other people just like you that, you know, are just starting out. So it's a great place.
That's amazing. And so if we go back a little further, Georgia, can you take us back to when you first started singing and sort of what your family's response to that was?
Well, I first started singing when I was very, very young. And when I was 5 years old, I just, you know, I loved singing at even before five, but I decided that I was going to sing a solo when I was 5 years old at the school program, and my mama didn't even know about it. And she shows up to the school program and looks on the little flyer they hand out about, you know, the schedule of what's going to happen, and she sees solo, Georgia Thomas. You light up my life.
Oh, wow.
And so I guess it all started there.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, and she knew I'd been bitten by the music bug because obviously I don't know if you've read my bio, but my dad was a songwriter, so that kind of like, great, she has the disease too.
Yeah, you come by it honestly because for our listeners, your dad is Cliff Thomas, who I was reading was a Sun Records recording artist back in the 50s, and also he's a Grammy-nominated songwriter. Wow, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, He unfortunately passed away a little over a year ago, but was a great influence in my music. And he actually had his Grammy-nominated song, ironically, was a country song called Pickin' Wild Mountain Berries that was recorded by Conway and Loretta.
Oh, Oh, wow.
And my dad didn't even write country music, so that was kind of, to me, the irony is that that's what I do, and yet that's where he was nominated, so I sometimes kid him, like, he should have done more country, you know, but he didn't really take to it. He really did more blues and R&B. That was kind of more what he gravitated towards.
So Conway and Loretta were obviously able to take that song and give it a country spin.
Exactly. The song was actually, I believe, a hit in like Germany, and I don't even know how they got their hands on it. Who knows? But yes, it was not written as a country song, but
that's
later
funny.
Became a pretty big hit, I believe. So I know it won a BMI Play Award as well. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So your dad was playing a lot of the blues and R&B, as you mentioned, as you were growing up. Did any country sneak into it, either from your mom or just you on your own? Did you find it on the radio? Who were some of the early influences?
You know, I really did find it on my own, I have to say, because we did not listen to it in the house. So my early influences were probably, you know, Mary Chapin Carpenter and Trisha Yearwood, because that was who was pretty hot in the early 90s, and that's who I was listening to, and I was just blown away by these girls. I actually was really into the Indigo Girls, and to me, the Indigo Girls are a pretty good bridge into country music, and I didn't even realize that, and then I started listening to, like, Mary Chapin and Susie Boggess and Trisha, and I was like, oh, wow, I really, this is almost more what I identify with, even more than, like, the Indigo Girls or REM or anything like that I was listening to. So it was really a smooth transition in a way when you consider kind of the other stuff I was listening to. But,
yeah.
And it really took going to Mississippi State University to fall in love with country music, which is some people nicknamed a cow college because they've kind of got that agricultural thing going on. And so you can't not listen to country music when you go there.
So you're getting into it, just you're exposed to it completely.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
Point. Nice.
Yes.
So you found people. Obviously, there were other people you were relating to there who were enjoying country music. So that probably made it easier to perform it and share it with everyone.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, while I was there, I was really just listening. I was not performing as much. I was honestly, if I was performing, I was by myself in my dorm room with my guitar, and people would walk in on me and go, "I didn't know you played the guitar," you know. So it was kind of one of those things I didn't really share with a lot of people really until I was out of college and felt a little more confident on the guitar and vocally to perform. And so when I got married pretty young right out of college, and then my husband and I moved to Jackson, Mississippi, where I'm originally from. And so then I started performing in bars a little bit down there, and that was a really good experience just to get out there and do it, play the cover songs and, you know, do that thing. And
did
that's
you
before.
Did you learn a lot from that scene?
Oh, I really did. I mean, I learned, you know, just how to connect with an audience and you know, what songs work and what don't. You know, some songs just don't work in a live performing situation. You know, really slow, sad ballads just unfortunately don't really connect with people, and people don't really want to be depressed, I've learned.
Yeah, it's true. If it's a song that someone's got to listen to too much or there's a story to it, it's kind of hard, I guess, to focus.
Yes. Yes, definitely. People need to, you know, just they go out to have fun. So when you're in a bar and you're singing, you really just, that needs to be your purpose, is to make sure they have a good time. So. And then shortly after that, I moved to Nashville. I would say I was in Jackson about 3 years before I moved to Nashville in 2000. So.
Wow, and how soon after that, Georgia, did your self-titled debut CD come out with all these great songs?
Well, the CD was, I always kind of say, a little accidental. I would say 8 years. I mean, I'd been in Nashville 8 years by the time the album got released. And
right. What
happened was, you know, I really have focused on writing the whole time I've been here. And I had done like a demo CD of 5 songs, but no official album. And so what I ended up doing was just basically, you know, I've pretty much done most of my demos in the same spot for the most part. And then I had one of my good friends master it for me, and he basically made all my demos sound like an album. So that's what we did. And it turned out that it's become somewhat, you know, successful, at least at my level. And We ended up selling a lot of them, and I ended up having to reorder more, and it's been a good thing. It got responded to much better than I had anticipated, so it kind of honestly was the shot in the arm I needed after being in Nashville for 8 years and struggling with rejection and lots of doors slammed in my face. Finally, somebody was listening, and,
and
the people are listening, you know.
That's pretty encouraging.
Important. Yeah, it is. You know, the people have spoken versus the industry label people that keep telling me no.
Yeah, it's great when the people speak, because they're the ones who ultimately are going to go to the shows and buy the CDs and download the songs and all that, so.
That's exactly right. So, and I have to admit that, you know, every time I do play live, especially out of town, you know, I feel like I really do gain more and more fans, and that's been really fun. Any opportunities out of town have been probably the most encouraging for me to just keep going, because Nashville's a tough town. I mean, I'm sure you've heard. It is not for the faint of heart. It is not. You've got to be pretty tough as nails to do this, but luckily, I'm the youngest of three girls, so I am tough as nails. I got picked on quite a bit as a kid, so I give my sisters all the credit.
Good for you. Yeah, the sisters helped you out in that respect. Now, we're speaking about the CD, Georgia, so I want to play one of the songs from it called Ash and Embers. Can you tell us the writers on this? I believe you're a writer on it. And a bit about the song before we play it for everyone.
Okay. The song is a song about a girl who discovers her husband is cheating, or her man anyway, and so she decides to burn the house down. She's just a lovely girl, and that's pretty much the story. I always tell people before I perform this song, I promise I'm not an angry person, but, you know, I can't even remember honestly how it ended up this way, but I wrote this song with Mark Allen Peters and Stan Swinarski, who I collaborate with often. And I think we just got talking about, you know, cheaters and their little tricks. And I said, well, you know, those cheaters need somebody to pull one over on them. And somehow we decided to burn the whole house down.
You just took it to the extreme.
Exactly.
That sounds good, Georgia. We'll play that now. This is Georgia Thomas, Ash and Embers in the Country.
Gonna strike a match to your memory. Watch the smoke carry it.
And that's Georgia Thomas from her debut self-titled CD. And the song is Ash and Embers. Powerful tune there. A lot of revenge going on in that song.
Yes. Yes. You need to be aware of that, girl.
Exactly. Now, where can our listeners check your songs out? And actually, where can they buy them off the internet? I think iTunes is one place.
Yes, iTunes, Rhapsody, and Zoom. And then, of course, Amazon.com. If you get the physical CD, I believe, and the download on Amazon MP3, and then Amazon.com, I believe, also has the physical CD. CD
oh,
Baby has the physical CD as well.
Right. You can order it, and they'll ship it from there.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I do use iTunes, but I still love to get the actual CD and, you know, read through the lyrics and check out the pictures and stuff and sort of,
yes.
I guess, an old-fashioned thing.
Yeah, that's always a really good thing to have. Unfortunately, there are no lyrics in my CD, just so you know, before you order it.
Okay.
We couldn't afford to do that, but we do have a little jacket and a CD. So if you want the actual disc, you can get it. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Now you also, I know, do a lot of pitching of your own songs to other artists. So maybe tell us a bit about that process. Obviously, you demo them up and send them out. Are there any, and I know you've got some cuts as well, are there any artists out there that you would just love to have a song recorded by?
Well, definitely. Right now, actually, I have a song that is being looked at by Sarah Evans, who I absolutely love. And if that happens, I would love it. It's actually on hold right now.
Nice.
By her people. So we're just kind of waiting to hear back. She's not cutting till October, so I've got some time to wait on that. And then, you know, as far as the artists I just admire and love, I mean, Trisha Yearwood would be a dream come true. Honestly, she is just a huge influence over my music. Mary Chapin Carpenter the same way. Of course, she writes her own music. I think those three, you know, I mean, Sarah Evans I love. I remember when I first moved to town, I think she had pretty much just gotten her record deal when I moved here, and when I first saw her perform, I was blown away. So I would love it.
That would be great. We've had Victoria Banks on the show a couple of months back, and
yes.
She wrote Saints and Angels, which Sarah Evans went on to have a pretty big hit with. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, great song. So, well, that's great that you've got that song on hold, so we'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. That's very exciting. Now, tell us about the Bluebird Cafe. We always hear about it, and so many songwriters go there. I just actually saw a piece today locally here in Ontario of a young artist from the area who is heading down to the Bluebird Cafe to try out his luck there. So tell us what the feel is there.
Well, it's just a really neat little place. I mean, it's in a way, when you get there, it's not what you expect because it's kind of world famous, and so you have this image in your mind of this big stage, this big place, but it's actually very small, and it's supposed to feel like a living room, and it really does feel like a living room when you play there. And what I love, like I just played there about 4 weeks ago, and what I love most about it is just how everybody listens to pretty much every word you sing. I mean, it is a listening room, and those waitresses, if you talk, they will shush you. So that is one great thing I love about it because, you know, us singer-songwriters, we're used to being in a room full of loud talking people. We're used to being the background music. So So when you play the Bluebird, it's just a completely different experience because people are really there to listen to songs, and it is really a neat experience. It is definitely my favorite place to play for that very reason, because people are there to listen.
Have there been songs that have been picked up by an artist who would, say, go to the Bluebird Cafe? Do you know of that? We had Michelle Wright on the show, and she mentioned being at the Bluebird and hearing a song that Lori Morgan went on to do called Something Red, but she heard the song and thought, I want to record that. So I was wondering if that ever was the case, as opposed to having a CD sent to an artist, if an artist would be at the Bluebird and hear a song that they've got to record.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to happen a lot. No, it hadn't really happened in my case, but I do think it does happen quite a bit. I think that people, you know, especially young artists that are struggling, they go to the Bluebird, you know, sometimes just to listen to music and just to see if they can find some songs. And that is one great way, if you are an artist looking for songs, you know, come see Georgia Thomas at the Bluebird and she might just give you some.
There you go. We'll send that message out to Tricia, Sarah, and Mary Chase.
That's right. Yeah. And to all the young ones too, the young struggling and starving. Hey, you know what? My songs are, I want them out there, you know. So, I mean, I actually just wrote with a Canadian girl.
Oh, yeah?
I did. Her name is Heather Longstaff. I don't know if you know her. You need to look her up.
The name rings a bell a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, just wrote with her. She came down from Canada, and we wrote this past week, and it went really well. And love writing with artists. I mean, because I myself am an artist, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to share my talent with other people, because I think that's really important to share with everybody what you have going on, and not only that, to help them along, because I certainly know what that's like. So.
And you never know who the next big artist is going to be. It could be the next Shania Twain or Carrie Underwood. And
exactly.
You know, that's who you could be writing with. So that's terrific.
Exactly, yeah.
We'll get to another song of yours, and then we'll come back and talk a bit more, Georgia. But the next song I want to play from your self-titled debut CD is called Amen, Sister. And this song I was listening to, it's got a lot of attitude and, I guess, woman power to it. Tell us about this song.
Well, I wrote this song with one of my very best friends in the whole world. Her name is Molly McCabe, and Molly and I used to be in a duo a few years back, and we got in a writing room with an up-and-coming artist, once again, a young artist named Joanna Smith, who you need to look out for as well. And we wrote that song in one day, and we just had more fun writing it. And honestly, we didn't have an idea when we walked in the writing room. We just started talking, and Joanna said something, and I said, Amen, sister. And then Molly goes, let's write that. And I go, okay. So we wrote it literally in one session and had more fun writing it. And those are some really fun girls. And I feel like it turned out to be kind of a female anthem. And I feel like ladies have been identifying with that song for the most part. It's been one of those songs on the album that when I do perform live, it gets great crowd response.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can tell a lot of fun went into it because it just sounds like a fun song the way you're performing it. So we'll share it with our listeners now, Georgia. This is Georgia Thomas with Amen, Sister in the Country.
If you don't feel sexy in your minivan, let me see a show of hands. Got some high school drama wearing you out. Girl, I hear what you're talking about. If you ain't got a single thing to wear, honey, you ain't alone out there. If your feet hurt from your high heels, I know exactly how you feel. Can I get a amen, sister? Amen, sister, amen. box of chocolate all by myself.
Georgia Thomas with Amen Sister here on In the Country, and we are speaking with Georgia on the line. Georgia, I wanted you to tell us a bit about the project you're involved with called Songs of Love, the Medicine of Music. It looks like a really great cause.
It really is. What we do is I actually write my songs with another writer of mine who I mentioned earlier, Stan Swinarski, and he has a little home studio, so we're able to write and record songs for terminally ill children who are in the hospital or being treated with chemotherapy. They have various diseases. We get a profile on the child, and then they kind of, the mom and dad kind of tell you what they're into, like if they love Barney or if they love Elmo, and you'll have to put Elmo in the song, you know. So it's actually a lot of fun, and but I, as a mom myself, it is the most heartbreaking thing. I mean, sometimes I'll listen back to my songs and I just cry and I wonder how that child is doing, because it's one of those things that you, even though you've never met this child, you feel like you have this connection with them a little bit, and you hope that they love your song that you write for them. And it's just, I think it's really a healing thing for the family, and just it's kind of the bright spot that we feel like, you know, it's the one thing we can do. So.
Yeah, it sounds like you're putting your music to a great cause with a lot of meaning. Do you get the chance to see the children's reaction, or are they listening to the song on a CD?
They do. They have the song. The Songs of Love organization actually sends the song for you. So unfortunately, no, we don't get to meet the children or see them. But you know, every once in a while, you'll get a letter or something like that, and hope that they're doing well. But that's pretty much how it works, and it's, you know, you just pray and hope that they, you know, they love the songs that you write. So
that is wonderful. That sounds great. Now, Georgia, if you had to choose or had the opportunity to record a duet with a male country singer, who would you like to do that for your next project?
I love Darius Rucker. I have his album, and I have to tell you, I am just blown away. Now, I loved him when he was Hootie, though.
Yeah.
But I am just a big fan of him as country. There are very few artists that can do what he's done and pull that off. And
definitely,
I would love to sing a duet with him. So I'm just going to put that out there.
Cool. Yeah, Darius, if you're listening, and we know you are, give Georgia a call.
And we know you are.
That's right. Along with Tricia. They're not all listening together, but they're listening out there somewhere.
That's right.
Well, that would be a great choice. Yeah, he's just zoomed onto the country scene and proven anybody who thought he might not be able to do it, he's proven them wrong, because he's on his third hit now, so he's just doing great.
Yes. Oh, I think he's amazing. And
yeah.
I actually saw him live when he was Hootie at a company function. He came to one of my corporate events. I worked for a pharmaceutical company. And he was there, and I was blown away by him. I mean, as a musician, I was like, wow, this guy is, he's just got something so special on stage. And I actually saw him sing a duet with Julianne Hough. I watched the President's Christmas special, and I was just blown away by him. I mean, he's amazing. He's a great singer, really good vocals.
Isn't that great? Yeah, he's pretty good on stage, too, as far as performing and entertaining and keeping the crowd going.
Absolutely. An amazing entertainer. Yeah.
Now, Georgia, do you have any advice? We have a lot of younger listeners who are, you know, probably thinking about singing, songwriting, that whole thing and getting into it, or maybe they've started on that path. What advice would you give to people at a young age, things they should do in this world of music?
You know, if I had to do it over again, I would perform live in front of as many crowds as I could. That is probably the one thing I didn't do early on enough, honestly. And if you want to be an artist and you want to be like get a record deal, that is what you need to do in this day and age, I believe, to really not only to connect with crowds, but to figure out what songs work, what doesn't work. Also to see how, you know, like I said earlier, let the people speak and let them decide if you are the next big thing, you know?
Right.
So that's what I would do. If I had to do it over again, I would get out on the road.
That is good advice. Yeah, once you're out there, you sort of throw yourself into it, and like you said, you'll learn quickly what works and what doesn't.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have any words for your fans who are listening tonight? The support of your fans, of course, as you said, finding your CD and loving it has helped out a lot. What's some words for your fans tonight?
You know, I just want to thank them because I have some really great, amazing fans that just, I mean, I have some people that leave me a comment every single day on MySpace, and I'm like, wow, that is so sweet. I mean, the same person leaves me a comment every day just to see how I'm doing, and
nice.
That really kind of brightens your day, even though you really don't technically know them, but just that they love your music and that they are thinking of your music and like it, and enough to do that, that means a lot. So I just always want to say thank you because it really means a lot to me. I mean, I've been in town a long time, and I know what it's like to not have all the yeses in my face, but in fact, a lot of no's. But I keep going because of the fans, and the fact that the people like what I do really does keep me energized and keeps my attitude up as well. So thank you.
Awesome. And where can the new fans who are listening now, who like what they've heard and who like what you've had to say, where can they find you on the Internet, on MySpace specifically?
My website is Georgia Thomas Music, which is a MySpace site. We don't have an official website yet, but we're pretty much operating great out of the MySpace site, so I think we might stick with it for a while. But yes, GeorgiaThomasMusic.com is where you can listen to some of my songs, and I believe I have 2 free downloads right now if you join my fan list. Ash and Embers is a free download right now, as well as a song I wrote by myself called Angel on the Ground. So
oh, cool.
I hope that if anyone's listening that you will take advantage and perhaps download the rest of the album. So yeah, absolutely. And spread the word to friends. That would be another thing I would say to my fans, is to spread the word about my music to their friends.
Let them know about Georgia Thomas and drop by her site and tell her you heard the interview as well, and that'd be great. Been a pleasure to have you on, Georgia. I also want to thank your manager, Stan, for all his great help in getting the songs to me and setting things up. And I want to thank you, Georgia, for speaking with us and playing, for me getting to play your songs and everything. It's just been a pleasure, and wish you all the best, especially with the song on hold with Sarah Evans. That's great.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Dave. I appreciate it. Thank you all for having me.
It's been a pleasure, and we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, on the show in the future, and we'll see you soon on MySpace.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Take care. My guest has been country singer-songwriter Georgia Thomas, and be sure to check her out on MySpace. Join me next time for another up-close and personal interview with one of your favorite country music artists. I'm Dave Woods, and The Country is an Artist Insights exclusive production.
Spend some time in the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country,